Visiting an old amusement park for a lesson on money and risk. I'm David Brancaccio in New York, checking markets on this Thursday. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 0.2% range. Reddit threads often written by newbie investors driving the price of stocks in directions that confound the big dog investors, stocks that are part of an internet meme. GameStop was a big example of this. Now the meme brigade is focused on the stock of Bed Bath & Beyond, up more than 300% this month, Marketplace's Samantha Fields reports.
A company can capitalize on becoming a meme stock if its stock price stays up for long enough, mainly by issuing new stock, says Chester Spatt at Carnegie Mellon University.
Basically, if you can sell stock into the market at valuations that are artificially high, that's an opportunity to help improve your business situation.
By raising money.
The high stock price also allows companies to build confidence with banks.
Andy Wu at Harvard Business School says when companies are able to raise additional capital,
it allows them to invest in growth opportunities. So, for example, repositioning a company from brick and mortar into an e-commerce business, as we've seen with GameStop.
GameStop and AMC's stocks have both dropped again, though they're still higher than they were in early 2021. And
it's not clear to me they've justified their stock price.
But Wu says both companies are more stable financially, at least for now. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
Our Econ Extra Credit series focuses on one documentary a month with marketplace themes. This time it's a lesson on money, risk, and the law with the film Class Action Park. It's about a famous, many would say infamous, amusement and water park in New Jersey that, despite a terrifying safety record, made it from the 70s through 1996 when it went out of business. From the documentary,
Action Park felt in some ways like a strange social experiment. What happens when you take a bunch of riled up teenagers, a bunch of alcohol, a bunch of dangerous rides, and you put them into a place where there are no rules?
There were multiple deaths over the years, including drownings in the wave pool, a body-crushing loop-the-loop, a kind of luge run that took a lot of skin and bones with it, and more. The number of injuries are uncounted because it appears the park didn't have to report incidents that didn't involve an ambulance. Bill Childs is a practicing lawyer and an adjunct at Mitchell Hamlin University of Law in St. Paul. He teaches a whole course based on the Action Park case study. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
My kind of tort has an E and is a layer cake with jam or whipped cream. What is your kind of tort? No E?
So no E. It's basically a civil action where somebody believes they've been injured by somebody else acting negligently, failing to act with reasonable care under the circumstances. Basically, if you think you've been injured and you think you should get some sort of remedy in civil law, then it's probably going to be in the category of a tort.
All right. Now, this documentary film, planners of future water parks might be interested in learning what not to do from this defunct amusement and water park with the terrifying safety record. But what can law school students learn from watching this film with you?
Yeah, so it's really a deep dive into an industry and most of the legal issues that touch on this industry. And it happens to be this very fascinating park in a generally pretty interesting industry. The other thing that I think is most interesting about Action Park is how different it is from basically anything that exists today, where the rider, the patron, they had so much control over their own experience, which was on the one hand, presumably super fun, but on the other hand, made it so there were lots of ways that they could encounter risk in a setting where people go with the hope of feeling like they're in danger without actually being in danger. And so I think that bubble feeling, that sort of disjunction between what you think you're getting when you go to an amusement park and what you actually got at Action Park, makes for a really neat intersection of things to talk about with law students.
One might have thought that bad press, the ugly publicity of people getting hurt at this New Jersey water park or dying in the water park, might have helped apply market pressure for either making the park safer or shutting it down. But it didn't happen in this case.
Yeah, the market pressures were a little bit askew, or seemed to be a little bit askew. as to Action Park in that the knowledge that there were real risks seemed to be an attraction. And I think people didn't think they were actually going to happen to them, but knowing that there was actual literal danger in the offing there, I think was considered a positive.
Many of us may not want to live in a world where we can't be allowed, I don't know, what do you call them, reasonable risks. I sign a waiver in case I were to crash on an organized bike ride. I mean, how do courts think about redress when things go wrong, but if you knowingly took a risk?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different ideas there, right? There's the idea of inherent risks, which is not exactly borrowed from, but most prominently seen in the area of skiing. If you end up getting injured from an inherent risk of skiing or lots of other things like that, then generally speaking, as long as they didn't do something to make that risk worse, the ski resort doesn't have a duty to you to prevent you from running into other skiers or into trees or whatever. And then there also can be contractual ways to limit the liability with waivers. And then just there's the general doctrine of you knew what the risk was when you got onto this ride and you assumed that risk. And of course, there's also things where if you increase the risk to yourself by taking off your seatbelt, you can have your recovery reduced or barred entirely.
Attorney Bill Childs actually teaches a whole class on this defunct amusement park in New Jersey. He's an adjunct professor at Mitchell Hamlin University of Law in Minnesota. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. It was great chatting with you.
So the documentary this month is Class Action Park on HBO. Follow along for Econ Extra Credit by signing up free at marketplace.org/newsletters. I'm David Brancaccio with our morning report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.